Can you hear me? Okay, good. I'd like to call this May 8th, 2017 Othello City Council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for a short personal invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon, and for wisdom for tonight's decisions that we make in our council meeting. And now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call. I see that all council members are present, so I will move to item 1.5 on our agenda tonight is the citizen input. This is the segment of the city council meeting where any member of the audience can address the Othello City Council. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the council? Please raise your hand, I'll recognize you. Okay, seeing none. We're going to go to the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd like to make note that the public hearing on the Sagestone 8 development agreement has been postponed. There's a few more details need worked out on that before we can have our public hearing. I would anticipate in the next several weeks, we should be ready. So with that, I would entertain a motion tonight to approve our agenda.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Tonight, on the item, on our current business, item 4.1, we have the privilege of having a veteran police officer of Othello, Sean Anderson, is going to become a sergeant. And we have some new police officers that will be sworn in. And I would like to call Sergeant, or soon-to-be Sergeant, Sean Anderson to come forward, please. Also, Officers Brittany Morris, or is it Maurice? I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Morris.
Morris, thank you. Officer Jason Warford and Officer Steve Perez, Stephen Perez. First of all, I want to congratulate you on attaining, first of all, Sergeant Anderson and officers for becoming a part of the team here at Othello and being a part of this department. I think you're going to enjoy your time here, and I think you're going to enjoy getting to meet this community and the people that you work for and work with. So with that, would you please raise your right hand? I, insert your name. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the State of Washington.
Of the State of Washington.
And the Charter and ordinances.
And the Charter and ordinances.
Of the City of Othello, Washington.
Of the City of Othello, Washington.
And abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics.
And abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Perform and discharge.
Perform and discharge.
The duties of a police officer.
The duties of a police officer.
During my continuance as such.
During my continuance as such.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Officer Perez, Warford. Okay, I'm going to sign your oath. And then Chief, take it from here.
While they're signing, I wanted to
thank the family and friends that have come to support these officers today. Council, we are ecstatic to get these officers on board. Everybody here, other than Sean, Sean's been here a while, these are all lateral police officers. So the time it's going to take to get them up and running is quick compared to what it's been. And, you know, we have the benefit of their experience. So I'm going to let each one of them talk for just a minute to introduce themselves. They come from quite a distance, some of them. So let's go ahead and start. Sean, go ahead, please.
You can just turn
that off. Okay.
Use
mics. Oh man, I hate mics. Yeah, well, I'll just talk like this. I'll try to talk low. I have a little cold. So I'm Sean Anderson. I've been here for 9 years now. I like to say that I'm a transplant to Othello because I think I'm stuck here for the rest of my life. I got some chickens, so I think I'm a farmer now too. So just trying to get used to the community. Initially, when I came here, I gave myself 3 years because it was such a small community. I wasn't sure if I was going to fit in, but turns out I love the small communities. It's real homey here. I like the small town feeling and the camaraderie that you have with the community. So it's been 9 years now. I've been a detective, been a school resource officer. I have a wide variety of things that I've done, and I'm just excited to share it with some of these other officers. Obviously, some of them have a lot more experience than I do, so that would be a challenge of mine to connect with them. But I'm excited for the opportunity. Thank you.
Stop right here so I can address everyone. My name is Officer Brittany Morris. I've been a law enforcement officer just over 2 years here in Eastern Washington. Main reason for me to come here is, one, the community is amazing. On top of that, I'm also in the Army National Guard, and through experience and other questions I have with the police officers that I've been here for a while, they have expressed on how to support your department and your city has the military. And I'm really excited to be a part of this department just for the support of the military and the family that I'll have just being here with them. And eventually moving my family here where I can commute from Moses Lake, but I'll end up being here in about a year. But thank you for the opportunity and allowing me to be one of your police officers, and I hope I'm here pretty much for the rest of my career. So thank you.
My name is Jason Warper. Obviously one of the police officers here at Othello. It's been a few weeks at the Equivalency Academy over in Buren, and I come from two different states. I have previous experience in the state of Indiana, my home state, and South Dakota as well. So the laws are so much more vast than what I'm used to and very progressive. I see Washington state itself as being on the cutting edge of everything in the nation. So for me, it's a big undertaking to take, but I feel that my experience and what I can bring to the citizens of Othello is not only that of a police officer for over 15 years, but that also my youngest son Nicholas is here. My oldest, Alexander's flying in tonight to Seattle. He still goes to the University of South Dakota. My wife's picking him up, so kind of give you a little flavor of what I have. I treat everyone that I come in contact with as if they're part of my family. I treat people with respect. And generally I get back, not all the time, but some people just don't like law enforcement. That's how it happens. But we're still here every day, and we are here to respond and help citizens when they need us the most. And every call that I go to is what the citizen feels most important to them at that moment. And I want to be a good representative of the city of Othello. And not only on my on-duty time, but my off-duty time as well. And I take the code of ethics very, very seriously. So you can rely on me to do my job of on and off-duty. So again, we feel very welcome here. We're lucky enough to get a home right away. And we're ready, but hopefully after our year's up, we can purchase it, our landlord says. So anyway, that's a couple of moments of my time and my life. And thanks for letting me be a part of your life as well. So thanks again.
How's it going? I'm Stephen Perez. I'm kind of a local-ish guy. I grew up in Zilla.
not too far from here. I come here from the Palouse, from Colfax, Pullman area. Othello's a good central location for mine and my girlfriend's family, my girlfriend's family, and my son, Braden. One of the main things that brought me here not only was the convenience to both of our families, but I have a passion for gang interdiction. I like the diversity here, and the gang issue that our county faces is something I want to be able to combat directly, fairly, and honestly. I have a little bit of experience in it from my time in corrections. And my main goal as a police officer in Othello is to right off the bat make a good name for myself as a fair cop, a good cop, and somebody that can please the community and do right. Further down the line, I would like to eventually dabble in some extracurricular, maybe the TRT, things like that and such. But mainly just make a good name for myself and represent the city of Othello well. So I really appreciate you guys having me, and I'm excited to get here and do my best and do well. Thank you.
So the next thing we're going to do is have one of their significant others, and it doesn't have to be just one, pin them with their badge. Sergeant Anderson, who would like to draw blood?
My wife. A little bit okay.
I'm not going to pass out.
Stick him.
How smart?
My husband, Aaron Morris.
And both Army?
Yes.
Okay, so these are kind of like airborne wings, but not quite. So, to bring it to council, we're one officer away now from being fully staffed, and one part-time dispatcher away from being fully staffed. These officers are going to be quite a contribution to the effort that we're going to need over the summer, and the timing is perfect. I'll thank council, but I'll thank them too. One of the things I don't want to embarrass anybody, but what I noticed there was two of the spouses kissed as, you know, after they pinned their badge. And 28 years ago, when I first started in law enforcement, that was not acceptable. In fact, my wife had dropped me off at work, and I had kissed her on the cheek, and I was counseled for it afterwards. That is not the world we live in now, and nor should it be. So, thank you, counsel.
Thank you, and welcome everyone and families. Thank you for coming. Appreciate the attendance and the support of these new officers. They're more than welcome here in Othello, and you'll find that out over time. So, again, thank you. So, and thank you too, Chief. Item 4.2 on our agenda is the public hearing on the Community Development Block Grant. So, I'd like to open this public hearing at 6:46 p.m. And I'd like to make an announcement that we have a Spanish interpreter available. Becky, do you want to come forward, please? Becky's our deputy clerk, soon to be, in a couple of months, our city clerk. And I'm going to allow her to find out if anyone needs interpretation services. So for the record, Becky, will you come to the microphone?
I'm going to speak in Spanish, that's what I'm here for. Soy Rebecca Perez Osuna, si alguien necesita un intérprete, estoy aquí para ayudarles. No temen, cualquier pregunta o comentario que tengan, por favor, vengan al micrófono y presenten lo que tengan que decir, y yo se los digo al consejo. Gracias. Thank you.
Okay.
I just let them know that if there is anybody who speaks Spanish, not to be ashamed, to come up to the podium and give their comment or question, and I will translate it back to the council.
We found none?
We found none.
Okay, thank you very much, Becky. So then, we'll move now to the staff presentation to the council for this grant. And who do we have the privilege of tonight? Jesse?
So I'm going to be part of it, Jesse Cowger, and we also have Anna Tuig, who's a late addition to our staff here on the grant writing services. And I'll just sort of take it away here. I'm going to have a little slice for Anna to do it as well. The public hearing that was just opened is for community development block grant, as the mayor indicated. And one of the requirements associated with applying for a grant from this program is to do a public hearing, describe what the program's all about, what that money could be spent on, sort of how much you could apply for, what different types of infrastructure you could fund for it, to give the public an opportunity to understand that program and have input on not only the current project that's being applied for, but for other projects that they might think is a priority in their mind and would want to discuss with council, or at least have their voice heard on it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the project that's currently being proposed for, and then Anna's going to tell the council about what CDBG is, all those some of those details I just indicated, and then I'll jump back up and tie it back together with project info at the end of the hearing. So we had an opportunity to meet with the Public Works Committee a couple of weeks ago to discuss a couple of things, this agenda item and the one that follows it. The project that's before the council right now is for the water system. It's to drill an additional well, build a pump station for it, and also to build a reservoir alongside that. And those address a couple of deficiencies that aren't really probably news to the council, but sort of declining groundwater supply. Each year your wells pump a little bit less, and just to keep up with the decline and also have a little room for future growth, the city needs an additional well. And the reservoir is to address a storage deficiency that was identified, really kind of confirmed in the water system plan. That also wasn't especially news to staff, but it's a project the city's needed to do for a while. So there's roughly $5.7 million of improvements associated with those. I'm going to have Anna tell you the specifics on CDBG. So these are just the details associated with this one specific funding source. And she'll also talk about the other funding sources that we're helping the city pursue to come up with that $5.7 million. And then I'll jump back in when she's done with her slides. So here's Anna.
Anna, will you state your name for the record, please?
Yep, my name is Anna Tuig, T-W-O-H-I-G. I'm just going to try to do a brief overview of CDBG for you, the Community Development Block Grant Program. It's a federal program through HUD, and there's about $9 million available for general purpose construction and planning grants. The city is going to be applying for a general purpose grant for the construction of the well and reservoir. Eligible applicants are small rural cities, towns, and counties with a population of less than 50,000. Eligible projects include public facilities such as water, wastewater, and streets. And the main thing for CDBG is that projects must principally benefit low and moderate income residents. And Othello is eligible, is about over half of the population here, is low and moderate income. So Othello is applying for $750,000, and it's all grant. That's the max amount you can apply for all of it. As far as the funding strategy goes for the well and reservoir, the first funding step is to apply to CURB, which you guys did last year, and that was for $50,000. That was all grant, and that was to help pay for the initial planning and the environmental review of the project. I believe you were awarded that last November. And that's, CURB is the Community Economic Improvement Board, if you don't know. There's a lot of acronyms on all of these, so I'll be sure to explain them. And that's through the state. The second step is what we're talking about here today, the CDBG grant. That's also all grants, so that would be a great one to get, and feel pretty confident about it. After the CDBG application, that one is due June 1st. The next step is to apply to DWSRF, that's the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund, this fall. That's for $3 million. That will be a low-interest loan. And that's, I believe, state and federal funds. The next step, the city is hoping for about $1 million from the legislature to help fund this project. It's still waiting on that. The final step is to apply to RD, or Rural Development, for about $900,000, or whatever's left over that doesn't get funded by grant. And through RD, that's through USDA, that's likely going to be 30% grant, 70% low-interest loan, but that's kind of up to their discretion. But it could be more, it could be less. And we apply to them last, and they'll fund pretty much anything that doesn't get funded up to that point. So it's a pretty great program. And as Jesse mentioned, the project budget totals about $5.75 million. So that's kind of the step-by-step process. We're on step two of funding strategy. So that's why we're here today. Thank you.
So that's a little overview and context for you on overall budget, overall project funding needs, the different sources of funds that the city's going to pursue, and you know, with the goal of maximizing the amount of grant or funds from the legislature you can get, and that's why the strategy was put together that way. So anyway, that's just context for you on where CBG fits into the overall puzzle for the project, and then also fulfills the requirements of the specific program to have the hearing, tell you, provide the details on the funding sources, what it can be used for, limits, all that sort of thing. So that's the context for you. I think that meets all of the requirements on the agenda for that. Let me just review that real quickly. I guess we're supposed to invite citizen discussion. So if there were anyone that had some input.
I'll take that part.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesse. Before sure. you go, though, council, is there any questions of the staff, that of Jesse or of Ann? This is all part of our plan. We're all familiar with our water plan, and they're just kind of reviewing this. This is a requirement, though, for the grant that we're applying for. So thank you, Jesse. Is it Ann or Anna?
Anna.
Thank you, Anna. Now, at this time, I'm going to open the public testimony portion of the public hearing. That takes on three parts. The first part is those in support of this application for a community development block grant. The second portion is those who are neutral to the proposal, and the third, those who are in opposition to the proposal. So this time, is there anyone here who would like to testify and speak in support of this application? So please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none. Is there anyone here who wants to speak that is neutral to this proposal? Please raise your hand, I'll recognize you. Okay, seeing none. Are there any in opposition to this proposal? Please raise your hand and I will recognize you. All right, seeing none. I'm gonna close the public testimony portion of this public hearing. And is there any further deliberation from the council? No? Okay. This is all part of our water plan, which includes the funding plan. With that, then, I would entertain a motion to approve this proposal for an application to for a community development block grant.
I'll make that motion.
There's a
So you have to execute a resolution.
A resolution, sorry.
Resolution certification and then project summary form.
Okay, so to be clear here, are we doing those things separate or are we doing those all in one motion?
I believe you can do them all in one motion.
Okay. Do you want to state that for the council for our assistance, please?
What the phrasing of the motion should be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think a motion to approve application to CDBG and to execute resolutions with certifications of compliance, Title VI certification, and the associated project summary form.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Second, sir.
All right. Gina, you can third it.
I'll third it.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, council, and thank you, staff. So that took care of item 4.2 and 4.3 on our agenda, correct?
4.3 is, yes, both of them.
Okay. So then item 4.4 on our agenda is the preliminary engineering for well 10 and the reservoir project amendment to contract with Varela and Associates. And that's Jesse.
Yep. So we gave you the overall big picture on the project there. Anna mentioned the grant from the Community Economic Revitalization Board, CURB, that the city was granted in, I think, late 2016. So that was a $50,000 grant to cover the preliminary engineering on the project. So that overall project, there's some preliminary engineering needed. There's some environmental reviews that need to happen. And there is some hydrogeological background work that will also be associated with Well 10. So that CURB funding can fund a portion of that. The overall total of this scope is $88,000. We met with the Public Works Committee and went over that, and we can give the council as much or as little detail as you'd like to know on that. The advantage of getting these tasks out of the way is that it helps pave the way for those next applications that you'll do with CDBG right now, with DWSRF in the fall, with RD after that. Having these first initial steps done demonstrates, I guess, readiness to proceed. So if you've gotten your environmental clearances, if you've done your preliminary engineering, they can see, okay, this project is just about ready to move on to the design and construction phase. So it
goes to the front of the pile.
It definitely helps. Yeah, it's one of the scoring criteria for most of these programs is readiness to proceed. So it's one part where you get full points and improves your odds of getting funding from those sources. So that was part of how we put the funding strategy together, was to go after this, what is a smaller grant, but it allows you to do these initial steps and improve your odds on those funding programs down the line. So getting about 60% of that paid for through the grant, and then the rest coming from the city.
Will you be offering suggestions within the preliminary engineering report, or are you going to select and head in one direction with regard to your proposal?
So one of the things I think we discussed in committee was that there's a couple of options for citing things, and the preliminary engineering will maintain those options, leave them open. So there's the existing Well 9 site that's an option for both the well and reservoir. There's a well site west of town at Tagaris Park that will still be an option. And there's also kind of a potential reservoir site, I believe, at the intersection of Lee and 7th Avenue that's an option. So all of those will be maintained through this preliminary engineering phase.
And then your hydrogeologic investigation will, in part, help to either eliminate or accept the different proposal?
It will help inform that decision, because as we kind of already, you and I kind of already discussed, there's definitely advantages and disadvantages to each, and it'll probably come down to, okay, which one's the best, you know, not necessarily, oh, that one's horrible now, but yes, it'll help inform that decision. Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to have different options when you know, going forward with the curb.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's definitely good to keep them open, because even once we have the construction funding, having, doing the environmental review on both of the sites, having the preliminary engineering available for each of those options, I guess you don't always know what you'll get when you go to a new site. I mean, well, mine, we have a good idea because we've already drilled one well there. We at least know what the long one looks like. We don't necessarily know what the Grand Ron looks like there. If that's, well, if we're going there, we would be going to Grand Ron. But at any rate, there's always uncertainties and things, so those options will be open down the road.
So is there any explanation on where it's from, 38,000 from the
Any other questions, Council? Okay. With hearing no further questions, then I'd entertain a motion to approve Amendment 2017-002 to the Burrell and Associates Engineering Agreement for
Of 88,000?
Of 88,000.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Jesse. Thanks. Anna. Kurt. So now, we're going to move to item 4.5 is the T-33 airplane refurbishing contract, and Wade has a report for us.
Mayor and Council, that's in your packet there was the contract, which was amended by Kelly, accepted by the company, to refurbish our T-33 aircraft. Shortly before council, however, Councilman Everett asked me a couple of questions about that contract, and I didn't have an answer to them. So, as I do sometimes, offer you an option of either passing the approval of the contract pending answering those questions, or we can delay till next council meeting until I get some answers to the couple of questions that Corey asked me, one of which involved is 20 hours going to be enough? And the other is, as far as if they come up here and see how much it is, do we have the option to back out if it's going to be some exorbitant amount? So I need to get those questions answered, I think. So as I'm talking through this, what I would ask then is, let's go ahead and delay this, I think, until next council meeting. There's no hurry on this, obviously, there's no thing. Let me get those questions answered. And as I talk to the guy, I may have some other questions I'm going to ask him as I thought through this, Corey. So, Council, with your approval, just head nod. We'll delay this, I think, till next council meeting and do that. So, Corey, thanks for bringing that up. And we'll get those answers and get this back on the agenda for next time.
Very good. Thank you, Wade. We have a consensus then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we'll revisit this in 2 weeks. Then we're going to move to item 4.6, ordinance amending OMC section 1611-020 of chapter 1611 titled short subdivisions.
The council, as you all know, well, actually, if Travis were here, he would be doing this because he's the one who generated this, but Travis went through and changed a lot of our ordinances based on his knowledge and based on things to be changed. Unfortunately, a couple of them didn't go all the way through and clean up everything associated with those changes, and that's what these next two items on the agenda do that. They change the scope for the short subdivision, and if we don't change this, it creates some confusion as far as the acreage. I can go into it, but it's pretty clear in your explanation of what that is. So this one and the next one, you have questions on what this is about. Again, it's cleanup from a couple things Travis did a year or so ago.
Questions, Council?
No.
All right, and entertain a motion to approve the ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And the next item is the same thing, different.
This one is the major subdivisions?
Yep.
And the other one was the short subdivision. So, Council, do you have any questions?
Same. Wade? No. Cleanup.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
Second.
Eugene made it. Gina seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Wade. Item three, excuse me, item five on our agenda is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business we need to bring before the council?
I have something I'd like to bring up, and I think now would be a good time to do it. I've had an opportunity to reevaluate the decision I made with regard to communication, the variance for the communication line that was at the bottom of the 7th Avenue. I've had an opportunity to go down there and look at it and actually see what was being requested. And I'd like to ask that Noel reapply for the variance. I think there's some issues that weren't properly discussed. There's really no way to go underground there. If they had to locate a pole, it would be directly in the middle of our driveway to our well house. So there's two water lines going out of that direction from that well that go east and north, so they would have to be boring right over the top of the water lines. And there's already an existing line there in place that is owned by Noel, and so they wouldn't be going with another line on another pole. They'd be right on their line.
Look, Spencer, you got that picture?
Yeah.
Put that. We don't have the overhead. Never mind. We don't have it.
You don't have it. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I can pass them around. But anyway, I had an opportunity to go out there. I felt that when they made their presentation, I was the guy that kind of led the way in saying no, that we were going to hold to the ordinance. But I think that the ordinance actually needs to be reevaluated, because what Josh is doing with Noel is every time that they're trying to make a new customer and coming off an existing line, they're not asking to put another line in. They already have the easement there. They already have the connection there. They're just talking about extending their line to a service of a person or an entity or whatever. In my opinion, that's what I'm seeing.
Is this the line that's going down to the UCDHK?
Yes. What it is, Corey, and you can look at the drawings, they already have existing lines there.
Well, I thought we were going to wait and see what was going on with the Columbia, the new street down there.
It was already postponed. The meeting once.
Okay, but
it
the deal
was postponed
is,
it again.
This meeting was set up twice, and no communications didn't bother to show up either one of them. This was set up twice in previous meetings. They didn't show up to one of them.
What are you talking about? What meetings?
The meetings that were set up on the agenda for it.
He's talking about when we had the when Travis had explained it, you know, when we decided to say no. That's what he's talking about. At the city council meetings.
Wait a minute. Josh was here that night when I pushed to say no. He was here. I discussed it with him after the council meeting, and he asked if I would go look with him to see what he was talking about. I did that today. He's here again for the next public notice that was advertised and told was going to be today. Now, there's unresolved resolution or things going on with the developer, okay? They need to get something done or know that they can get something done for an alternative for CBHA, okay? They may not have time to wait for that development to go through. But what I've looked at today is there's not going to be any thing done that already isn't done today.
Okay, so
I had a better explanation of it.
Okay, so you subsequent, in other words, after that vote took place and we took our action, you've been in contact with Noel, found out a little bit more about their what their request was. And so now you want the, you're encouraging them to reapply for the variance, and or is your expectation that we're going to take some action tonight?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. My expectation was, I came in and I talked to Kelly and Wade and asked them what the procedure would be. And they informed me that the procedure would the most appropriate procedure would be to ask Noel to reapply for the variance. But along with that, Sean, I believe that the way the ordinance is wrote, that it's fine to request that of new development. But where there's pre-existing communication cable ran on pre-existing pole lines that have been there for 15, 20 years, that when they request to take that line and bring another one out of the loop and go to a new customer, that they explain it in that manner so that we don't think that they're going to be stringing another line.
Mm-hmm.
So on so another you, pole.
So with regard to what Travis presented to us, then he basically, in my recollection, is said that it was contrary to the ordinance the way the variance was requested. Is that our existing ordinance?
Well, the ordinance requested any new communications to any new location be put underground.
And so what you're saying then, John, is that you would like to see there in our ordinance to take into account already existing
infrastructure.
That's the term I was looking for. Yeah, existing infrastructure that is our, when the council makes that decision.
Yes.
Okay. Kelly, do you think that's reasonable for us to consider those type of that type of a request, and for the council to exercise its discretion in that way?
Well, there certainly is a method to apply for a variance. I think that's something that you likely could take into consideration. I haven't reviewed that ordinance since we last took action on that variance request, and I don't have a real good memory of exactly what the ordinance says, and I haven't had an opportunity this evening since I've came with this issue came up to relook at it. So I'd have to double check. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is my sense is that the council could exercise its discretion that way, and that issue was before council last time. I think if the council couldn't exercise its discretion, I would have caught that and informed the council. So, you know, just telling you without looking at it, I think the council could approve it if another variance request was submitted. However, there has to be for the council to reconsider that decision, there has to be something, there has to be a motion in front of council, you know, has properly be brought to the council's attention. So reapplying for the variance would be one way to do that, and probably the most efficient.
Mm-hmm. And so the process of a variance, does that first go to the Planning Commission, or does that can that be done directly because they've already been through that process? Or were they brought through that process?
You know, and I don't know if Travis took it first in front of the Planning Commission or not, and I also don't know off the top of my head, under the Othello Code, whether or not this is something that would be have to first go in front of the Planning Commission's authority. Mm-hmm. The Othello's Code is set up a little bit different. Every city is a little different on what goes and what does not go in front of the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. I remember Othello's is a little bit different than others. So that's something we'd have to review. But I think if they submit the application for the variance, we'll make sure it gets through the proper channels before it gets to council for consideration. Mm-hmm. And then we can take a look at that on perhaps a different record in front of council.
So before you do all that, I want to ask the council, are you of a mind to reconsider this given the information you now have just received?
I would kind of like to find out what these two meetings that Corey was talking about that showed no interest. He hasn't had that chance to explain yet.
Yes.
And also, and before that, I'd just like to interject, council does need to be, this is a matter of practice, a point of procedure, need to be careful about making a determination on an issue before there's been a request for a public hearing or before information has been submitted in connection with that public hearing. So I guess maybe bring that up for the ensuing discussion. Food for thought?
Go ahead now.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Josh Vasilius with Noel Communications. To address the not attending, we had talked to Jim Schuler and myself had talked to Travis prior to it going to being submitted for the request. And he assured us that we did not need to be here and it would not be voted on. I was heartbroken, and I explained this after the last meeting, that it actually went through. I even had an email from Jim Schuler following up on the things we discussed so that we had some type of record that we had talked about it prior to, because we are not 100% sure that we need a variance to overlash to existing communications. And that's one thing that I would like to get cleared up. If we're not putting new anchors in the poles and dropping it down 18 inches and building new communications, is that the same thing as when we overlash to existing stuff to get into the DOT right away and out of the ordinance zone?
So I believe that the way the ordinance says that if it's over 50 feet, I think if it's over 50 feet, if you're even replacing line over, I don't remember what the footage is, but it's over a certain footage.
Because what it was is it's 100, and I went and I looked back at it, it's 136 feet roughly from between two poles to where the middle of the case is. And then the 200 feet that was in our variance request was actually slack loop. So if a pole gets hit, there's extra slack there so we can rebuild the system real quick without having to slice in a bunch of new stuff. But yeah, so that's.
Okay, what was your name again?
Josh Vasilius.
Okay, yeah. I'm probably going to cut you off here just because I don't want you to get into the details of this impending variance request. You'll get your opportunity now that we know how that played out. You'll certainly have your opportunity. I assume that if this happens within the next month, our engineering firm, Kurt, has been acting as our community development director and infrastructure man. And so you'll probably have communications with him as well as Wade. So I think that's going to be the appropriate time to do that tonight, I think, for the purposes of this city council meeting. John brought up an issue. He thinks that it merits another review. And so I'm just simply asking, but since he's only one, I'm just simply asking, would you guys want to review this again? Okay, just to clarify the record and to clarify what it is we're doing here. I just need consensus. It's okay. You guys, you want to go through this one more time? Yeah. Now maybe we'll get full information that we need to make a good decision. And so, Josh, with that, I think you've got your assurance now that you can reapproach, and we will consider it again. And I think what John has said is there are certain aspects of this I don't think we really clearly understood. And so I think it would be very good government for the city of Othello to review that new application for a variance. How does that sound?
Excellent. Can I talk with Kelly prior to see if we even need the variance? Because that was our biggest question to Travis that morning, mm-hmm. was do I even need to go through that process?
Yeah, we'll have Kelly and Kurt look at that again and see if that's the case, then we'll get hold of Josh and let you know that, and then we'll send it for council after that.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Do you have DOT approval to run down the highway already?
So we haven't submitted that, and that's with the clinic opening, and we need to be in there in August. That DOT approval did told us it's okay, but we haven't submitted, and we're not going to pay the money to submit it if Columbia Street was ready for us. We are doing our best to play by the city rules, and we go in Columbia Street if it meets time frames that we're stuck against for providing services. But I have a feeling that it may not.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you're welcome. Is there any other unfinished business? Any new business that needs to come before the council besides my next announcement? Yes?
Do you want to make your announcement first before I talk about what I discussed with you? Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Amy's not here, so are you going to do the discussion?
I'll do it.
Okay, so Wade, go ahead.
Okay. Amy, our Parks and Rec director, met with two of the members of the Parks and Rec committee today to float an idea that she has about moving forward with the men's softball league. And basically, she met with the guy who was trying to work that, and she would like council's consensus to move forward with gathering information. She didn't have all the numbers together yet, but she needs to move forward with getting information and then perhaps doing some advertisement to see what kind of interest there is. But she wanted council to sort of go, you know, yeah, we think that's a good idea or not. So she thinks she's going to get 8 teams. Not sure. She's going to charge them so much to team, and then they're going to actually provide the umpires, and they're going to be using our facilities, so obviously.
Yeah, she needs consensus because she needs to start advertising what by the end of the month.
Yeah, before the 22nd, she needs to start going because they'll start playing. I think she said the 6th of June. Is that what she said? 6th of June. That's right, when they start playing. So that streaks the timeline up. So she'd like to get the teams going before that. Again, just what I think we wanted to do her to do is just what she's doing. Okay. The other things that she wants the consensus on, and she'll come before council on the 22nd with some hard numbers, is she was at a conference last week, and there's a company there that actually contracts to come in on cities like ours that don't have the staff or the money and hold these sports camps for kids. Something we would do, you know, as a city if we had the personnel for, you know, kids. I'm talking about kids, not teenagers, but kids. And I think she charged, what was it?
19.
A week.
A week.
A week for each kid is how much the company charges. They provide the bonded and background check staff to come in, use our facilities. We get 10% of the take to help with the maintenance or whatever. So I think another great idea, Amy's research, and if you guys are comfortable with that, I'll have her move forward with getting all the numbers and getting some set and getting that going. Because again, she needs to start advertising before people make plans and programs for that. So.
How much did you say, $119 a kid?
Oh, per week.
Per week.
It's like five days.
Or like they'll have multiple sports, like two weeks in June. July, they'll have like, what, baseball or
something. It was there about soccer, flag football, basketball.
Yeah.
These little mini camps for kids.
Regardless, $119 a week, there are a lot of people that you can take credit cards.
It's going to be from ages 6 to 12. And from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3, they're going to feed them, and they're also going to take them at the end of the day to the swimming pool. They're good events.
Corey, for sports, that's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
I pay $300 to send my son to football camp for 3 days. So
the one thing I'd like to bring up, and it's probably not the time to do it, but being the first year for the city taking over this kind of minor major league, you know, there's been a few glitches. Now there's twice a week, I know I got grandkids that are 9 years old, they're out there playing slow pitch or fast pitch at 9 o'clock at night from 7 to 9 two times a week. That's not cool as far as I'm concerned for little kids to be out that late. And I have checked, that is it's a fact.
Well, that's what I would ask council to do is bear with us as we go through this first year.
Well, that's what I said.
And so what we'll do at the end of this, then keep those notes, please. And then at the end, we'll have what I call a hot wash to say what went right, what went wrong, stuff we need to improve on next year. At this point, the schedule's sort of set. But those are the kind of things that I would ask council and working with your constituents, with your own kids, grandkids, whatever, to make those notes. And we'll sit down with Amy. And just sort of go back and forth and say, for next year, then let's do this different, this different, this different. And we need to capture those. So keep notes and keep bringing that forward.
I got my notes.
So.
Yeah, what I like about this program is that they're bringing all the helpers in. The fee's $119. So if it works this year, we keep on doing it. If we don't, we don't do it anymore. We just drop it.
Well, anytime we can.
And all the liability, everything's included. We're not liable for anything. Perfect. So it's good. I think it's good for the kids to keep busy.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, it gives them something to do, and since we don't have the personnel to do it, you know, it at least, you know, until we get to that point where we've got the personnel to run the programs, it gives us a way to offer the programs to the kids.
Exactly. So, okay, I'll have her keep going, and next council meeting she'll bring the numbers and the figures for all, both those ideas. Okay.
My next new business announcement is the Association of Washington Cities annual conference is in June, 20th through the 23rd. That's a Tuesday through Friday, and that'll be held in Vancouver. Are any of you thinking or would like to attend? If so, I'd like you to contact Wade, let him know, because already we just discovered today that Wade and myself hadn't registered for the conference, and so now the conference hotel is sold out.
Yep.
So we have to stay somewhere different.
Update on that.
Okay.
We actually got reserved 3 rooms at the hotel at a little slightly different rate, but not as good as what they had, but better than the hotel that they recommend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, you can fill me in later. All right, so there is an extra room reserved. If there is a council member that would like to go, or several, we'll reserve any and all. And we'll, again, that's June 20th through 23rd. You may need to go back, check your calendar, your vacation schedule. Just let Wade know, okay? And then the Adams County Official Candidate Filing Week is next Monday through Friday. Myself, the mayor, I believe Gina Doro, John, and Corey Everett are all up for re-election. And so if you're not familiar with what the what your responsibilities are, you can contact the county auditor, Heidi, and she will walk you through the process. You can do it online, or you can, you know, do a mail-in and pay your fee, because there is a fee. So that's just a reminder. And having said that, is there any other new business to come before tonight's meeting? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move to item 7. Council will receive the Adams County Fire District Number 5 first quarter report and our department heads report. And with no other business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:29 p.m.